Well, good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge. My name is Milt, and I'm really glad that you've chosen to be here today as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Amen? I mean, it's like the ultimate victory, and we get to celebrate it. And so I just want to thank you for being here. For centuries, it has been the tradition for the preacher to stand before the congregation and declare with absolute certainty and boldness that he is risen. And for centuries, it's been the tradition of the family of God to respond to that by saying he is risen indeed. And so on this beautiful, beautiful Easter morning, I stand before you with absolute certainty and boldness, and I declare he is risen. Amen, he is. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today, right? I know that he is with me no matter what they say. Right? Oh, it's just so good. He is here and he's with us. And literally billions of people all around the globe are worshiping and celebrating Easter. Billions of people all around celebrating this massive victory, because it's at this event that we're celebrating that Jesus kicked the end out of a borrowed tomb and rose from the grave. Right? And watch, I know that some people don't come to church super often. Maybe just season, you know, occasional special holidays, events, and things like that. And if that's you today, if you're like, hey, I'm one of those. Like I just go to church sometimes. Thank you for being here. Right? Of all the places you can be at this moment, thank you for being here. And what I want to say is this. Some people come to church for all kinds of different reasons. And maybe it was just because it's a special event or a holiday. And sometimes it's like this is the same story as last year, preacher. Jesus rose from the grave. But that was a long time ago. What does that really have to do with today? Right? I mean, that was a long time ago. But see, for people that only come so often, that can be the way we look at it. It's like the same story year after year, and it just becomes a little bit mundane, and maybe we become a little numb to it, and we grow a little spiritually sleepy. And so this morning, my prayer is that we would be fully awake, fully alive and fully awake this morning. So I wanted to share a story of one of my most memorable preaching experiences. I was in Bible college in a homiletics class. It's the study of the art of preaching and teaching. And so we had to, like, preach, right? And so no experience, and you just have to do this. And then my name is Bora, so I'm at the top of the list. So the next morning, I'm leading it out, right? I'm starting the morning off. And by the way, in case you were wondering, preaching to a room full of Bible school students, wouldn't advise it, right? I mean, it's like required attendance. You have a captive audience. They're there, not sitting at the edge of their seats, you know, but they're there. Anyway, so I'm about 3 minutes into this sermon, and I hear this. Going off. Evidently, someone had planted an alarm clock right in the middle of my sermon to distract me. It was so funny. And so it took a few minutes. You know, it's a dark chapel and chairs everywhere, and they finally found this alarm clock and get it shut off. And I'm about another 3 minutes into the message, and sure enough, another alarm clock. And by now I realize that some knucklehead went out the night before and bought a bunch of those cheap alarm clocks and set them for every so often during my message to really distract me. And so it was so funny. But then I decided, you know what, I'm going to play into this. Like, I'm gonna make it look like this is actually a sermon illustration. Now, see, God's trying to get your attention. You got stuff been going on in your life, and you're not taking God seriously, your studies, and God's trying to set this alarm. And I don't think they bought it, but I tried to make it look like it was all planned. And I guess my prayer for this morning is that as we gather to celebrate the risen Jesus, that there would be an alarm that would go off within you and I. For those of us that are spiritually asleep. And that there would be an awakening to the good news of Jesus. And that we would live our lives more intentionally with purpose and a passion for the things of God. So today's message is for those who are spiritually asleep maybe and day after week after month after year goes by without you so much as even thinking about eternity. This message is for those who are spiritually sleepy and you don't do a whole lot but scroll through other people's lives on Facebook, but you're really not living your life with any real intentionality and purpose and direction. This message is for those who have become apathetic to the things of God. Like, you just don't even pray anymore. Maybe you don't even know where your Bible is. You just don't read God's word. And you don't even come to church very often anymore. And, you know, it just all seems, you just seem so cold to it all. And you don't care. And you don't care that you don't care. And there needs to be an awakening in God's church today. That today would be a day we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, but we also celebrate a resurrection in our own. That we can, this can be our resurrection story as well. When God sounds an alarm to get our attention because he loves us and he has the best in store for us. And he's trying to get our attention because maybe we're going in the wrong direction. Maybe we're doing something or not doing something. And he always does what's for our good and his glory. And so as an alarm goes off, I pray that you hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And that's Paul's prayer for the people in Ephesus. You see, the church in Ephesus had exploded on the scene about 10 to 12 years before Paul even wrote to the Ephesians because, well, honestly, when they first started off, they were doing what they were supposed to be doing. They were excited. They had a purpose and a passion. They had the good news, and they were delivering the good news, and they were believing the good news, and they were living the good news. And they were, as time went on, they still believed in the good news, and they believed in the resurrection. But they hadn't really experienced the resurrection in their own lives. And before long, without meaning it, they kind of become spiritually sleepy. They stopped really paying attention. And so Paul is writing to this church because they were passionate about the things of Christ, right? Because they saw him. I mean, he's alive. Seen him rise from the dead, and they haven't seen it, but it's just they've known it to be true. And so Paul's writing to this people in Ephesus that they would become aware of the resurrection, but that they would also realize that because Christ rose, he ascended. And because he ascended, the Holy Spirit descended upon us. And now we have the power within us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to live a victorious life, to live our lives in such a way with purpose, passion, as to influence those around us. And so Paul's like, this is what you're supposed to be doing to the Ephesians. And so he wanted to remind them, not only the resurrection, but of the power that they have because of the resurrection. So he writes to the Ephesians in chapter 1 in verse 19. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. So you see, Easter isn't just a story of what happened a long time ago. It's also a story of what can and should happen today in your heart and in mine. See, remember these people that Paul wrote to, these Ephesians, they had a faith. They believed. But beyond that faith of believing, right, beyond that, they had some people that told them that Jesus was alive. Like, it was firsthand type stuff. Like, does anybody ever have, you have that person in your life that if they said it, that's the way it is? Like, there's no way they would lie. Like, they can't even spell the word, much less tell a lie. You know, anybody know anybody like that? You just put your life on them, right? Well, that's what, so at one point, Jesus appeared to like over 500 people at one time after his resurrection, right? And some of those 500 people are some of those people that you just know that they're telling the truth. They said it and that settles it. That's right, you know? And so those people told people. And these are like firsthand recipients from people who actually saw the resurrected Jesus. These are those Ephesians that Paul's writing to. So they didn't just believe by faith. They also, they knew that Jesus had risen from the grave. They knew that he experienced a resurrection, but they hadn't experienced the resurrection for their own story. And I'm here to say that Easter is for an awakening today. Awakening to the reality of Christ's resurrection, and awaken to the reality that because of the resurrection, we now have power in our lives, power to live our lives victoriously for Jesus. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the very same power that lives inside of you and I. To do things that Jesus said, you're going to do these things and even greater things because I'm going to the Father. So, in the 4th century, get a little history lesson as well. In the 4th century, there was a group of church leaders that got together to start defining what is right and wrong for Christians. Like, you know, think about it. You had people coming to know Jesus from all different walks of life, different countries, different cultures, different people like, this is the way to be like God. And they're like, no, this is the way to be opposite of God. And you had, don't do this, and you have to do this, and you can't do that, and you should do that, and shouldn't do that. And there was so much rules and traditions and everything going into this that finally a group of Christian leaders got together to decide for Christians what's right and what's wrong. And in that, they created this list, and it's familiar to many, at least the title, maybe not looking into them, but the 7 deadly sins, right? That came from these guys. They got together and they're like, we're going to put together this list of the big ones, right? The 7 deadly sins. And so sometimes when I'll read those sins off, I come across one word. That just didn't seem all that deadly. Like, it just didn't seem like it fit. Like, okay, the others I get, okay. But you get to this one, and it's like, sloth. Sloth, it's a word we don't use very much in America today, but it basically means, like, lethargic, apathetic, maybe even lazy. You just don't care, and you don't care that you don't care, right? Maybe a definition of sloth might be somebody who just does nothing but lays around on the couch all day eating Cheetos, right? Or maybe it's the person that doesn't do anything to live their life with any real purpose, but they're certainly scrolling through everybody else's life on Facebook, right? Maybe sloth is the person who soaks in a bathtub until their fingers are wrinkled. Like, who would do that? Bowl services people were like, oh, bless your heart, right? So a real slothful person would be a person that soaks in the bathtub while eating Cheetos scrolling through Facebook. Now, that sounds like an exciting evening, doesn't it? but these church leaders, so are you with me? It just doesn't seem like that dangerous of a sin. Sloth. Ooh, I'm lazy, right? It just doesn't strike me as this big dangerous thing. But I think what we don't understand is those early church leaders probably had some pretty good wisdom. And they could see something in becoming comfortable, becoming routine with the things of God, and watching how quickly a person can just become spiritually asleep spiritually apathetic to the things of God. And so they did include that and say, this is a deadly sin. Sloth. And so, this morning I want to sound the alarm on a few things. And I want to ask you a few questions. And in the process of asking these questions, I'm going to ask you to do a little heart check and decide, have I become spiritually sleepy? The first one is this. Do you want to be here? Right? Do you want to be here? I mean, I get it, you're here, right? But just because you're here doesn't mean that you want to be here, right? Maybe your parents made you come and you don't want to come. You don't want to be here, right? Or maybe it's, you know, ultimatum by the spouse. You're going. It's Easter. You're going to church. Or maybe it's, you know, you come because it's like a special day. It's Easter. It's what you do. You just come to church on Easter. Some simply just don't want to be here. And you know that I know, and you know that I know that you know, and you don't care, and you don't care that you don't care. So if hanging out with other believers is that much of an annoyance, if you can't wait for me to stop talking so that you can get on with your day, then maybe you need a little heart check and ask the question, have I become spiritually sleepy? Here's a second question. Do you cherry pick scripture to suit you? Do you cherry pick scripture to suit you? One of the symptoms of spiritual sleepiness is comfort. And y'all know what I think of comfort, right? God does not call us to comfort. He calls us to commitment, okay? I mean, it's just the way it is. But part of spiritual sleepiness is the desire to be comfortable. Like, I don't want it to hurt. I just want to be comfortable. I want to be happy. We're after comfort. And sometimes when it comes to the Word of God, we can cherry pick, and we can take words or verses that make us feel good, right? For God so loved the world. I'll take that one, you know. For by grace, we pick and choose the scripture that makes us feel good or that lines up with the current way that we're living. And we won't reject, but we're just going to ignore the scripture that challenges us or confronts us or causes us to do a heart check, right? We pick and choose. We cherry pick. That's exactly what Paul was talking about, by the way, when he wrote to Timothy. And he's like, Timothy, my boy, the time is coming. Can I interject that? It's here. In case you're wondering, it's here, right? A time is coming when people will no longer listen to good and wholesome teaching, good, bad, and indifferent, the whole law, right? The whole thing. People won't stick around and listen to good, wholesome teaching. They're going to pick up their ball and they're going to go to a no playground where they can find a preacher that tells them what makes them happy. Where they can find a preacher that'll justify everything they want to do. And God loves you anyway. There's no accountability and there's no challenge to be holy, right? A time is coming, Timothy, when people will no longer stick around for good stuff. They're going to chase willy-nilly preachers. They're just limp noodle, yellow bellies. It won't stand on the word of truth. Time is coming when they're going to pick and choose. I have a friend. I could tell you his name because he's never going to watch this. But his whole purpose in life is to legalize marijuana in his state, his home state. I mean, that's the reason he gets out of bed in the morning. Like, his whole purpose of existence is to do whatever he can do for the cause of legalizing marijuana in his home state. And so I get a message from him. He says, I got a verse of scripture for you. And I'm thinking, come on, right? Hey, maybe he's getting it. It said, God has given you every seed-bearing plant for your enjoyment. That's what he got. God has given you every seed-bearing plant for your enjoyment. Genesis 4:20. Just kidding. I'm kidding. It's not. It's not. It's actually 129, but could you imagine if it was 420? It'd be like, I knew it, right? But this guy, right, he just cherry-picks scripture to make it. I mean, I hate to be so blunt about it, but all right, that's all the weed humor for Easter Sunday. Yeah, we're good. Some of you are like, I don't know what he just said. Bless their hearts, right? And question number three, do you have the fear of the Lord? Do you have the fear of the Lord? Do you enter his presence casually, irreverently, flippantly? Do you have the fear of the Lord with that kind of awe, respect? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6 says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Does that wake anybody up a little bit? Just a little bit? Get you on the edge of your chair a little bit? I'm convinced that God wants us to experience a spiritual awakening this morning. Each and every one of us, right where we are, one thing or another, he's going to rattle off a whole bunch of things here in a little while, and he's going to speak it right into your heart, right into your ears, what it is for you that he wants you to experience a spiritual awakening for. What I've discovered is most people use, or a lot of people use their smartphone as an alarm. Now, the numbers I heard were pretty high, and so I just want to do a statistic or a little vote. How many of you wake up, like whatever words I was looking for, they left. How many of you wake up to a sound that's made on your cell phone as an alarm clock? Yeah, it's man, there's a lot. There's a lot. I don't. I just have, mine just vibrates, and that's enough to just wakes me up. Just a little bzzz, and I'm awake. But that wouldn't work for some people. What? But most people, it's true, most people use the smartphone to wake themselves up. And so I was like, I'm just going to see what's all out there. And so I'm scrolling through these sounds. And then there's this list. There's this, like this top 10 list of people, of ringtones or whatever that people use as an alarm clock. And one of them just kind of just was struck me weird. It was this. Doorbell? Like, it just doesn't seem like the logical thing. You know, all of a sudden you get woken up like, oh, the pizza's here, you know, or, you know, like, what just happened? It just doesn't seem like just the normal thing you'd want to wake up to a doorbell. Or this one. It's the harp. Who wakes up to the harp? That does not scream, get up. It whispers, go back to sleep. Your boss will understand. Right? Who would use that? It just seems so, I don't know. But I did find one that I liked. Yeah. Couple of reasons. One, it sounds just like my Harley Fat Boy. And number two, it comes with a backup alarm, such as my wife's heel in the small of my back if I chose to use that motorcycle as an out loud alarm clock in the morning. But all of all these things, these different ringtones that are on phones and that are in the spirit world, there's no doubt there's a number of alarms that will go off this morning in this place, each and every one of us. I pray that it does, because as long as it's bringing us closer to Jesus, shouldn't we just welcome that? And I believe there's some alarms that are going off, and God's trying to get your attention to something that's really important, something that really matters. Some people are just going through struggles right now. We live in a broken, messed up world, and the devil is having a heyday. People's struggles all over, maybe in the marriage, maybe with children, maybe with finances, maybe with a job, maybe with pornography, maybe with drugs, maybe with alcohol. And the struggle is real, and the war is on. You're trying to tackle it and fix it in your own power. And God's trying to get your attention, and never created you to go through all this alone. God's trying to wake you up to the reality that he rose from the dead, and because he rose from the dead, there is a power that we have as believers to overcome those things. And God's trying to wake us up, get our attention. Now, we're going to talk about it in the weeks ahead. We start talking through the book of James, but I want you to understand something about all the stuff that happens. Not all of it was God planned. Okay, you need to understand this. There are some things that God brings. Talks about enduring, you know, our maturity comes through some of these things, right? But there's things that are just, because we live in a broken, messed up world and the devil does things, and God didn't, but God allowed it, right? Because he's sovereign over everything in the world. And so he allowed it, but not all of these things come from God. But I promise you this, God never wastes any hurt. And he'll use it all for our good and for his glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 in verse 10 is a really interesting verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10 says, "For God sometimes uses sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek eternal life." And for some of you, that's why you're here today. God's brought you here to hear the gospel message, to hear about the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And we celebrate that, but not only celebrate that, but we celebrate because of his resurrection, we have power to live our lives differently. We have the power to surrender to the lordship of Jesus and receive him as Savior. We have the power to live holy lives. We have the power to become more like him than we were yesterday. God wants you to be aware and awakened with some alarm today. So there's a few other alarms that I want to talk about. The first one is this one. It's called the runaway alarm. And it causes you to not only wake up, but rise up. Okay? It causes you to not only wake up, but also rise up. You put this thing on the floor, or you set the alarm, and then you just set it on the floor, and when the alarm goes off, not only does it make a whole bunch of weird noises, but it wheels itself all over the room. And so you can't just wake up and hit the snooze button. You have to wake up, and then you have to get up to go chase this thing down, because otherwise it won't shut off, right? So, like this. I don't even know what to say to that one. But that's the message that Paul has for us in Ephesians chapter 5, that we not only wake up, but we rise up. And here's the spiritual connection. You can be awakened this morning to a need, to a change, to being free, to coming face to face with the problem. You can be awake, but if you don't rise up, there's a chance you might just go back to sleep, right? I mean, you didn't mean to. You didn't want to go back to sleep, and it was just going to be for 5 more minutes, right? But then that 5 minutes turns into 45 minutes, and all of a sudden it's in a panic, right? See, the resurrection of Jesus gives us reason to get up. The resurrection of Jesus reminds us that because he rose from the dead, he also ascended to the Father. And because he ascended to the Father, the Holy Spirit descended on us. And because of his resurrection, we can have a resurrection of our own with his power in our lives to overcome some of these things that we just talked about, to be victorious, the devil is just having a heyday with the church. God's trying to get our attention to not only just wake up, but rise up. See, we can wake up, but if we don't do anything, we don't get up, we lose our passion. I mean, it's the resurrection that gives us that passion and that zeal to live our lives differently so that the world may know. Think about those disciples in the upper room. Jesus had just been crucified. He's dead. All hope is gone. And all these disciples are up in that upper room and the door's closed. And they have no hope. They have no purpose. Do what? Why? To use. They're hopeless. They have no passion, no purpose, no reason to get up and go out. Until Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, comes walking right into the room with the doors closed. The resurrected Jesus, y'all, do you hear me? Comes walking right into the room. And when he walks into the room, everything changes. The people now have a reason to get, not only wake up, but to rise up. A reason to go out and tell the people about the hope that they have within them. When Jesus walks into the room, it changes everything. And we now have a purpose. We can have passion to be bold about living our lives for Christ like we're supposed to. So that the world may know. Another alarm I like is this one. And this one's called the Super Shaker. It's a Super Shaker. So you just plug it in, you set the clock, set your alarm. And you take this thing and you put it underneath your pillow. And when the alarm goes off, it rattles your brains. Like this. Those two are going to the highest bidder after the service, by the way. So, like, who wants to wake up to that? It'll wake you up. But honestly, nobody wants to wake up to that. Nobody wants to wake up their brains being rattled by that thing like it's an earthquake. But sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes the other alarms that he's been letting go off just haven't been doing the job. You're just not getting it. Maybe you're thick like me and it takes you a while, but you're just not getting it, right? Sometimes that's what we need. Sometimes we need to be shaken awake. Like if there's somebody that you care deeply about and they're asleep in a building that's on fire, what do you do? Well, you don't break out the harp, right? You go in there and you grab them by the shoulders and you shake them. You say, you got to get up. You got to get up. Time is short. You don't have much time. You got to get up. And there's no doubt in my mind there's somebody here this morning that your life is just swirling. There's so much going on. And God's trying to get your attention. He's allowing a gentle shake to like, get up, get up. You don't have much time. Your marriage is in trouble. You think everything is okay and it's not. Or maybe it's a habit that's turned into an addiction. And you don't see it, but others see it. You say you can quit whenever you want, but you haven't. Just a gentle shake saying, get up, get up. You're missing out on time with your kids and you can't get those moments back. There's no redos. Wake up. You're acting as if this world is all there is and it's not. You're acting as if you'll never stand before God and you will. You're acting as if there is no heaven and no hell and there is a heaven and there is a hell. And that's why Jesus spent so much more time talking about the warnings of hell than he did emphasizing heaven. It's time to wake up. For some of you, it's really time to wake up. You don't have much time. Things aren't okay. And I could not tell you, but the stakes are too high for me not to tell you. Easter isn't just about Jesus arising from the dead 2,000 years ago. Easter is supposed to be about a resurrection in your heart, in your life today. Your own resurrection story. Wouldn't it be cool to next Easter, you celebrate the risen Christ, but you also celebrate 1 year. 1 year ago, I made this commitment. I did this. It's Easter that needs to be your resurrection story. And my favorite one is this one. This one's called the sunshine alarm, and it works just like you think it should. It wakes you up as it gets brighter and brighter. It's a light that shines in your face. You said it, and so hopefully you got to be waking up on your side facing this way or something, I guess. But it wakes you up to this bright. And it takes a little few moments to get there, right? But it's like, have you ever had that almost like a perfect night's sleep where you slept hard, long, uninterrupted, and you wake up maybe like the birds singing and the sun's just shining on your face and it's like the greatest thing ever, right? Like this. That's the way it lights up. That's exaggerated in time, of course. But that's how God wants to wake you up. He can use all these other alarms that we've talked about. He can use any and all kinds of alarms, but he prefers to use this one, but it's not as easy sometimes to get your attention, right? Things have to be lined up a little bit more to get that sunshine to shine in your face and wake you up the way God wants to wake you up. He can use all kinds of alarms. He chooses to use this one. He wants us to wake up this morning to the reality of his love and his grace and his forgiveness, his calling upon your life. God wants to wake you up. Sometimes there's some serious stuff he wants you to hear and he needs you to do and he needs you to be urgent. He needs you to recognize things aren't okay. You don't have forever. You don't have forever to make this decision. So let's celebrate today. Let's just be optimistic. Celebrate the risen Christ, but we're also going to celebrate the resurrection in your life today. Whatever that is between you and God. But then there's an alarm that the Bible talks about at least three different times. We don't know exactly when it'll sound, and we don't know exactly what it'll sound like. I think it'll sound like this. The Bible refers to it as the trumpet call of God, announcing the return of Jesus. But the thing is, when you hear this alarm, if you will, there won't be any time left to wake up or rise up. And that's why in Matthew chapter 24, there's the warning to us to stay alert, stay awake, be aware, because you know not the day nor hour when your Lord is coming back. And so we live our lives in expectation that it could be today. And for a person who doesn't know Jesus, that's got to be a scary way to live life. So I want you to wake up to the reality that Jesus rose from the grave. And if he's speaking to you this morning without that hope, without that knowledge of salvation, my prayer is that before you leave this place today, that you'll put your trust in him. And it's not by a bunch of do's, it's about a done. Everything that needed to be done for your salvation was accomplished through Jesus on the cross and in that grave and in that resurrection. He died for your sins. He loves you. And he wants you to put your trust in him. So just to pray a simple prayer, something like, Lord, I've really made a mess of things. I'm really sorry. I believe that you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I'm trusting in you at this very moment. The best I know how with what I have, I'm trusting you with my eternity. Thank you for new life, and now you have mine. Something as simple like that, and you have a resurrection story of your own this morning. Maybe it's a decision that you're going to... Listen. We can talk. Talk is cheap. We can say, I'm gonna, or I'm not. Words are cheap. Jesus is looking right into your heart this morning. He's sounding an alarm. He wants to wake you up to some things. But you got to be honest. You got to let him in. You acknowledge you can't do it on your own. And live this life changed. Live differently. Because he rose from the dead. we can have that resurrection in our lives as well. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14 says, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light."